His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die, God's son would die, to save a wretch like me? Divine, he gave his life for mine. His wounds of suffering brought me healing. He shed his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. His sorrow gave me joy untold. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die, son would die, to save a wretch like me? What love divine, he gave his life for mine. He was despised and rejected, stripped of his garments and oppressed. I am loved and accepted, and I wear righteousness.
His life for mine,
his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die, God's son would die, to save a wretch like me? He gave his life for mine. What love divine, he gave his life for mine.
How could the God of heaven love a helpless soul like mine? Why would the great I am send his only son to die? The price he paid for my sin was much too high a cost. But Jesus came and found me and loved me to the cross. He came to me, now my blinded eyes can see. He forgave and set this prisoner free. He died and he rose, and that's all I need to know. When my sin was all I could see,
he came to me. Why would he want to come down, leaving heaven's throne. The earth and all within it could have made his glory known. Yet he saw a worthless sinner and redeemed me through his love. I don't have to know the answers, for I'm covered by the blood. He came to me.
Now my blinded eyes can see. He forgave and set this prisoner free. He died and he rose, and that's all I need to know. When my sin was all I could see,
he came to me.
He came to me.
The Savior came down
and changed my everything.
What a joy I've been given. It's a new life I'm living
as a child of the King.
He came to me.
Now my blinded eyes can see. He forgave and set this prisoner free. He died and he rose, and that's all I need to know. When my sin was all I could see, he forgave and set this prisoner free. Jesus came down and found me. He came to me.
Amen. Well, that was good singing. Amen. Amen. And I'm so glad that you're here this morning. Thank you so much for coming out, being a part of the morning service. It's always good to be in church on Sunday morning. Amen. Who'd rather be here than the best jail in town? Anybody like that? I'm just making sure that you're all in agreement with me on that one right there. I don't know what the best jail in town is like. Brother Marcus told me it's not that good, but otherwise, I'm not that sure. And but anyway, I'm thrilled that you're here. Come back tonight for the great evening service, 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock p.m. Be sure that you're here. Don't miss it. You say, but man, there's going to be two preachers. Good. Good. That'll help you out. You've watched movies on the Hallmark Channel for 3 hours and never moved one time. Somebody say amen on that one right there. You can come to church for two preachers. We promise you we won't keep you long, but certainly the Holy Ghost will be here and want the Lord to speak to your heart. You come back tonight. If you don't normally come, come anyway. Amen. And see what it's about. I always tell people this. You know, if all I did is ate breakfast every day, then I'd miss the joy of lunch, and I'd miss the joy of supper. Now, we do say supper here, right? I'm just making sure. Yankees say dinner. No, it's supper. Somebody say amen on that one right there. And, you know, the truth is every meal has a different taste. Every service has a different flavor. And you need to be sure that you're here. It'll help you out in your Christian life. I'd encourage you to do that. If you get a chance, I'm not going to say much about it. My table's in the back, some of the books I've written. And most of the books sell for $10 a piece. The booklets are two. The book on soul winning, Divine Appointments, that's $7. There's a book back there written by Mrs. Becky Martin. That's a $15 book. I'll talk more about them this evening, but I encourage you to get back there if you can sometime this week and get something. And I think that you'll find that it'll be helpful to you. Take your take the Bible. Turn over to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. Man, I see all these candles up here. It looks like a Catholic service happened right here. But anyway, I don't know where that one came from. But anyway, probably from that redskin jacket over there. But anyway, there's an altar right here for that jacket. I'm just letting you know right now.
We'll preach against his sins whether he likes it or not. Psalm 104, once you have found it, let's all stand as we read the word of God this evening. Psalm 104. If you have it, give a good hearty amen. Amen. The scripture says in Psalm 104, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Now go, if you would, to Psalm 105. For Redskin fans, that's the next chapter over. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Now go over to Psalm 106, verse 1. Psalm 106, verse 1. The scripture says, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For, thank God for this, for his mercy endureth forever. Every once in a while, I think we just need to stop, back up a little bit, and refocus on what this whole thing is all about. I'm afraid oftentimes in Christianity we get off focus. You know what I'm talking about. We just kind of get off focus. This morning I want to kind of bring it all back to what it's really all about. I want to speak to this morning on the subject, a worthy God. A worthy God. If we keep our eyes on God, I'm telling you, everything's going to be okay. But so often, and preacher, you know what I'm talking about, so often we as preachers, we get so sidetracked on things that are truly not even worthy of our attention, when if we just stay focused on who we're serving, the what in life will take care of itself. I hope you listen. Father, take these next few minutes. Lord, I want to be a help to your people. Most of all, I want to get your people to refocus on you. Lord, I feel like as I go to embark upon this journey this morning through the scriptures, that I will fail to show how worthy you are. I'm a frail human. My vocabulary is limited. And there are not enough words to talk about how worthy you are. I pray that today our hearts would be calm, our spirits would be open, that we would just say, we would look at this next few minutes and say, what is it in my life that I need to add to my life or change in my life? Holy Ghost of God, use me to help your people, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. By nature, we are selfish beings. You can say amen on that one right there. It all starts when they're a baby. I normally don't take these kind of deep jumps, but I imagine you're pregnant. I just thought I'd say that just in case you didn't know. Just don't have the baby this week. Amen on that one right there. I ain't delivering a baby. But anyway, she is great with child, son. I mean, I've never seen a great. That's great right there. But anyway. Stop it. But anyway. But it starts when they're a child. You know what I'm talking about. The baby's born and everybody oohs and ahs over the baby. And then nighttime comes. We go to sleep. And about the middle of the night, the baby doesn't know we're supposed to be sleeping. Somebody help me out just a little bit. And that baby starts crying, and so mom gets up, because us men, we lay in bed praying for you ladies. I know you don't understand that. That's why we don't hear it. We're praying for you. Can I get a witness from the men right now? As all the ladies now have departed from the auditorium. And you get up, and you go to check the baby out, and you pat the baby, and the baby stops crying, and you lay it down in the crib again. You go back to bed, and About 10 minutes later, that baby starts crying again. You get up, you go back and try it. You check the diaper's okay, and you kind of pat it in the back, and you lay it back down, and you go back to bed. About 10 minutes later, that baby starts crying again. Now it's not such a sweet baby anymore, because now it's messing with your sleep. And now all of a sudden you go back and you kind of burp it a little bit. Hope maybe it's just got a little bit of problems in, but the baby's not doesn't need to be burped. It just stops crying. You lay it back down again. You go back to sleep, and about 10 minutes later that baby starts crying again. And you go back and you try to feed the baby, but the baby's not hungry. What is it? That baby's trying to say, "Hey, everything's about me." Because by nature, we're selfish beings. Then we go from the infant stage to the adolescent stage. And mom goes from being a sweet, caring mom to now she's a referee. She starts wearing stripes. I got to stop this. I saw you wearing stripes and I just... I want to preach to the wall over here. But anyway. You know what I'm talking about. You can have 10 toys out. And all the children are going to fight over what? One toy. Because by nature, we're selfish beings. Then they become teenagers and they lose their brain. And they're a teenager, and all of a sudden now their level goes a little higher. The selfishness that they have now I've got to have a new iPhone because all my friends have an iPhone. Good. I'm glad they do because you're not. And yeah, well, I've got to have all the style clothes because that's what all my friends have. No, you're just going to wear the hand-me-downs just like I did when I was growing up. And you know how that is. And then you become an adult, and then we become perfect. But no, just kidding you. You become an adult, and when you become an adult, isn't it amazing? Our selfishness goes up to another level. Why? Because by nature, we're selfish beings. We want the praise for everything that's going right, but we try to deflect the criticism when something is going wrong. Because by nature, human beings are selfish. Our sinful nature is a selfish nature that always wants the attention on us. But may I remind you this morning, there is only one person who deserves all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, and his name is Jesus Christ. And somewhere in life, we have got to get back to that point in our life where we understand it's not about what Alan Domley gets. It's not about the pat on the back. It's about the God that we serve, who deserves our honor, who deserves our praise, who deserves that glory that he deserves. I'm saying God deserves that. I was reading in Psalm 104 one morning. My habit every day is to read five psalms every day. I was reading Psalms 104, and I saw how it started out where it says, "Bless the Lord." Then I got to Psalm 105 where it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Well, Psalm 105 was the last psalm of that day, but I saw a little pattern that God was beginning to set up here, and I thought, you know what, I can't stop. So I cheated on the next day. I hope you don't hold that against me. I cheated on the next day, and I went to Psalm 106 where it says, "Praise ye the Lord." And I saw a pattern that of something that God wants that every Christian to have inside of their life every day. It's that part where we start our day off right. Get this now. So we stay focused on the Lord. Because if I can start my day focused on God, listen to me, my day will be a better day, a more righteous day, a day of helping others, a day of leading people to Jesus Christ. But I must get focused on Jesus Christ. There's three acts this morning I want to show you. First of all, in Psalm 104, the psalmist says, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He says, "O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty." I want you to underline the phrase, "Bless the Lord," and put this beside it. The ability to see God's power to face life's problems. The ability to see God's power to face life's problems. When you look at the word blessed, that word blessed, it means this. It means to magnify the Lord. Let me put it a different way. When God says, bless the Lord, O my soul, he is saying this. He is saying, focus in on the Lord and focus out of yourself. Look up to Christ instead of looking into yourself. Keep your eyes on God, because when you begin to look at God, get this now, you see the greatness of God and the frailty of human. You see the power of God, and you see how your problems really are truly insignificant inside of life. When I began to read this, when he says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, he then shows us what caused him to bless the Lord. Notice verse 2. Who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who maketh the cloud, or who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters. Verse 3, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. Verse 5, who laid the foundations of the earth. Verse 13, he watereth the hills from his chambers. Verse 14, he causeth the grass to grow for the cattle. Verse 19, he appointed the moon for the seasons. Verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. What's interesting is the psalmist did this. The psalmist began to look at the creation of God. And when he saw the creation of God, he couldn't help but stop and say, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Listen to me. Every day of your life, you need to take some time where you stop and just magnify God and bless his holy name. I'm afraid oftentimes in our Christian life, well, Brother Dominic, that's just metaphorical. No, it's a literal thing that God wants us to bless him. There'll be a time in every Christian's life, every day of their life, where they look out of themselves and look up to God and say, bless the Lord. Why? Because when I see the greatness of God, every problem that I have shrinks down, because I see that God has the power to handle those problems. In Texas, our collars for the fall don't normally hit us until Thanksgiving week. Last year in November, the week of Thanksgiving, I wasn't preaching anywhere. I was home, and so as my normal case is, after reading my Bible, I went out to go take a walk with my two dogs. And I came around this one corner, preacher, and as I came around the corner, the sun was poking up over the rooftops of the homes. As the sun began to shine, there was a tree there that had red, orange, and yellow all in one tree. When that sun hit that tree, it was amazing to me, because I saw the sun reflecting on that tree, and I saw the different hues of yellow and the hues of red and the hues of the orange that I saw magnifying just like a fluorescent color coming off of that tree. And I stopped right there in the middle of the tree, in the middle of the street, because I was the only one there. No one else was up that time in the morning. I was the only one. And I saw that, and I stopped, and I said to God, I said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou wouldest visit him. Listen to me. I saw God that morning showing his power by the sunshine on that tree. And all of a sudden, when I saw what God could do, it's amazing how my problems became like this. What I've always learned is this. I've always learned that whenever anybody starts focusing on themselves, they start seeing how big their problems are. You don't believe me? Look at the book of Job. For 40 chapters, Job looked at himself and he said, woe is me. He said, oh, I wish they'd take that day, the day I was born, off the calendar. He said, oh, I wish somebody write a book about me. But as soon as God showed up, what did Job do? Job no longer saw his problems. He just saw the worthy God who he served and his problems that he had in life that were big problems became small problems. Why? Because he was now focused on God. Listen to me this morning here at Fellowship Baptist Church. And we ought to stop every once in a while and look up to God and say, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Just look at God. You say, but you don't understand my problems. No, you don't understand my God. You say, but Brother Donnelly, my problems are bigger than anyone else's. They may be, but it's not bigger than God. He said, bless the Lord. The second thing he said was this. He said in Psalm 105, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Underline that phrase and put this beside it, the motivation to continue to pray. The motivation to continue to pray. It's interesting. So the psalmist in Psalm 104 said, he said, bless the Lord. He said, magnify the Lord. He says, focus on God. Look up to God. See the greatness of God. And isn't it interesting, after he could see the greatness of God, in Psalm 105, now he stops and begins to thank the Lord. Look it. Why is it, if I was to ask you this morning, how many of you, don't raise your hand. If I said, how many of you this morning really want to be a thankful person to God, I think every hand would be raised. But do you know why we don't thank the Lord? I'll show you why. Look at verse 5, Psalm 105, verse 5. He says, remember his marvelous works. Why? Do we not thank the Lord? Because we forget to what? Remember. I think so often, especially here in America, we are so blessed in America that we don't really realize how great we truly have it in America. Several years ago, I traveled to the Philippines to preach in the Philippines for missionary Rick Martin. Brother Martin, when I got there, I was going to be there for a whole month during that trip. And he said, Brother Domley, he says, there's a preacher up in the mountains of the Philippines I'd like you to go preach for, hold a couple day meeting. He says, would you be willing to go and preach for this pastor up in the mountains? I said, oh, I'd be happy to. You know, mountains. I'm thinking Virginia. I'm thinking Colorado. You know, mountains. So he says, tomorrow your guide will meet you and he'll take you there. Well, I didn't know what take me there meant. I'm thinking, you know, trip. You know, get in a car, you go somewhere. My guide comes the next day. We get on this jeepney. Now, if you've ever been in the Philippines, you know a jeepney is kind of like a extended jeep. It has a place for passengers. The difference in the Philippines is this. These extended jeeps, but their passenger capacity in the States would probably be 6 or 7. Over there, it's probably 40 to 45 on a Jeep. And I get there, and because I'm the white guy, they want me to get inside of this Jeep. Now, let me help you out. I didn't want to be inside. Because when you're inside, you're like this on the inside of this jeepney. But they wanted me on the inside. I'm the visitor. I'm the American from the States, and they wanted to make sure I didn't have. Because I mean, they had people on the top of the jeepney. They had people on the hood of the jeepney. There was people standing around. You couldn't see paint. You just saw moving people. We bump along the road for about an hour or so, going up this mountain, and finally we get to the top of the mountain, or to one spot in the mountain. The jeepney stops, and the driver says, everyone out. The road had stopped there. I got out of the jeepney, and I said to my guide, I said, Brother BJ, I said to my guide, I said, where's the church? He goes, oh, no. He says, we're not even close. I said, what do you mean we're not even close? He says, I said, where's the next jeepney? He says, oh, we can't get there by jeepney. Didn't Brother Martin tell you? No. Well, how are we going to get there? He says, we're going to walk through jungle. Let me help you out. I hate jungle. You say, why? Jungle to me is Chicago. Jungle to me is Los Angeles. That's jungle. Jungle in the Philippines means snakes. And I hate snakes. mean spiders. I don't like spiders. We walked 12 kilometers through jungle, waded through rivers. We're up in this thicket. We come around this corner, and this old man, he comes up and he sees me. We're on this little trail, and this old man sees me. He couldn't speak any English, so he comes up, and this man begins to feel my face. Let me help you out. I don't do good with other men feeling my face. This guy begins to feel my face, preacher, and I looked at my guy, and I said, what's he doing? He says, Brother Dominic, don't move. I said, yeah, it's easy for you to say. He's not feeling your face. This man is touching me, feeling my face. Then he says something in his dialect, and I said to my guide, I said, what's he saying? He said, Brother Domley, he's telling me that he's 90 years of age. And you're the first white person he's ever seen in his entire life, and he's wanting to know if you're an angel. Well, yeah, of course. A handsome one at that. We walk through the jungle. I'm sweating profusely. The longer I walk, the more upset I'm getting with Brother Martin for not telling me about what jungle meant. I get back to that barangay, and the pastor and his wife meet me. And as they meet me there in that barangay, they meet me on the edge of that barangay, and they welcome me to the barangay. They were so happy. They said, Brother Domley, we're going to take you to our house. We're going to let you sleep in our bedroom tonight. I'm thinking, about time we're finally getting somewhere. They take me to their house. Their house is a bamboo hut. No windows. This platform is bigger than their house. They said, Brother Dominic, we want you to sleep on our bed. I'm looking for a bed. I'm thinking, there's no bed here. I said, where's the bed? And they showed me a little bamboo mat that he and his wife sleep on every night. I said, where are you all going to sleep? They said, oh, don't worry about us. We're just honored to have you come sleep in our house. I preached that night. I get back in that bamboo hut, and I don't know if you've ever been over there, but mosquitoes like white blood. Mosquitoes were all over me. I'm slapping mosquitoes. I'm getting grumpier as the night goes on. It's hot. There's no air conditioning. I'm just laying there, sweat just rolling off. Mosquitoes eat me up. I'm thinking, I've got to do two nights of this. I am laying there in my mind thinking, I want to kill Brother Martin. I want to kill him. Then I thought to myself, I wonder where the pastor's sleeping. So I looked out the door, and as I looked out the door, I saw the pastor and his wife sleeping on the ground. Under the sky, happy, while I was sitting inside griping. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit smote my heart, because we are truly blessed in America. Do you realize in Afghanistan, if you're 21 years of age in Afghanistan, you're a middle-aged man. Because the average man only lives to 42 years of age in Afghanistan. And we gripe. Well, my house isn't big enough. I can't believe I can't buy another pair of clothes. Huh, my car. I can't believe God won't give me another car. Come on now. Now we're starting to meddle, aren't we? You see, the truth is, we have a roof over our head. We have seats to sit in. We have air conditioning to keep us cool. We have a house to live in. We have a bed to sleep in. We have eyes that see. We have ears that hear. We have legs that walk. We have a heart that beats. We have air to breathe. We have a Savior that loves us. We have a Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. We have a heaven as a home. And we gripe so much. Why don't we just stop and say, thank the Lord? When's the last time you stopped and said, thank the Lord? When's the last time, young person, look at me, when's the last time you stopped and thanked God for everything that you have? Because oftentimes you're griping and complaining to mom and dad about what mom and dad don't give for me. What you don't understand, you get 3 meals a day, and in many countries they get 1 meal a day. And some of you ladies are always griping to your husband about what he's not doing for you. Hey, have you ever thought your husband doesn't provide for you? God provides for you. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. What a great God. Oh, thank the Lord. For he's good. But then he says one other thing. He says in Psalm 106, praise ye the Lord. Put this beside it, the realization of God's goodness in every circumstance. The realization of God's goodness in every circumstance. You know what's interesting? When we stop and we look, focus on God and say, bless the Lord. And then we stop and we start thanking the Lord. Those are private things that we do. Psalm 106, the public part comes into action. To where we begin to praise the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Don't answer this out loud. When's the last time in public other than this church building, when nobody else is around you to hear how spiritual you are, that's just you in the world out there, that you saw something and out loud you said, well, praise the Lord. You said, Brother Donnelly, but we're not charismatics. Let me help you out. They were praising the Lord before there was ever a charismatic church. I was taking a flight in January this year, going to Reno, Nevada. She said, why were you going there? Trying to raise money for your pastor and myself to finance our ministries. You'll catch that later on. But anyway, just kidding. But anyway, take that one out of the CD. But anyway, I was flying and I was sitting there in the airplane. I always sit in the aisle, and the person next to me, he was sitting by the window, and the snow was over the mountains of Colorado as we were flying over Colorado. The sun was out. It's one of those mornings when the sun was hitting the snow. I mean, there was, you could see the sparkles coming off the snow. It was just one of those awe-inspiring sights. Have you ever got yourself in a situation where you're so wrapped up in what's going on, you don't realize what's coming out your mouth? The man next to me was looking out his window. I'm looking out the window, and before I could catch myself, I said, well, praise the Lord. The man next to me looked at me. He said, what'd you say? I said, who? He said, you. He said, what'd you say? I said, praise the Lord. I said, sir, my God put that snow in the mountains. My God hung the sun in the sky. My God painted that for you and I to see. My God gave us eyes to see it. My God is the God that controls this whole thing. Praise the Lord. He says, you really believe that stuff, don't you? I said, more than you know. I said, in fact, let me show you how much I believe it. I pulled out my New Testament, began to go through the plan of salvation. Before long, that man is bowing his head and praying and receiving Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Why? Because a backslidden Christian happened to let praise the Lord come out in public. Come on now. What are you afraid of? Well, they're going to think I'm a nut. And he's wearing redskin stuff. Praise the Lord. Come on now. They'll go to ball games and paint themselves up, but we can't say praise the Lord in public. Come on now. Are you afraid that somebody might identify you as a Christian? Well, I don't want them to think I'm that type. And why not? Praise the Lord. Listen to me. For the rest of this year, I love every person under my voice to commit to the Lord that every day you'll stop and look up to God and say, bless the Lord, and see the mighty, just stop to see the mighty power of God. They want to challenge you every day to stop and just thank the Lord for what you have. I think of this morning as I stand here, a preacher friend of mine up in Maine, in his young 40s, has terminal cancer. And I'm pretty blessed that God's given me good health. I'm afraid so often we're so self-absorbed and so much filled with ourselves that we never stop and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And then every day of your life, I want every person under my voice to go out wherever you work and find reasons to praise the Lord. When the lady at the cashier says it's $5.32, praise the Lord, it's not $5.33. Come on now. The policeman pulls you over, says, I'm going to give you a ticket. Well, praise the Lord, you're not taking me to jail. Come on now. There's always a reason to praise the Lord. There's always a reason to let people know who we are and who we represent. I think we Baptists have become so dead. Well, we're the reserved type, Brother Domley. You're reserved for the coroner's office. I'm saved. Praise the Lord. I'm on my way to heaven. Praise the Lord. My sins are gone. Praise the Lord. I have a King James Bible to read. Praise the Lord. Have a church to go to this morning. Praise the Lord. Have padded pews. Praise the Lord. Have air conditioning. Praise the Lord. Have a wife I talk to. Praise the Lord. Have a daughter that loves me. Praise the Lord. Have a preacher I can listen to preach. Praise the Lord. Have friends like Brother Freeman. Praise the Lord. Have a soul leader like Brother Michael. Whatever your name is. Praise the Lord. Have even Dunkin' Donut heathens like Brother David. Praise the Lord. There's always a reason. He said, how can you do that? Because I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. You say, but Brother Domley, I just don't understand how you can do that. You get Christ living inside your soul and you start focusing on him. You're going to find it's not that hard to do.
I'm just afraid. Maybe there's someone here this morning. So I just can't. I could never do that. Maybe the reason why is because you have a different father than I have. You say, what do you mean? Maybe you're just not saved. You've been going through the motions. I know we're in the South. I know in the South there's a lot of Baptist churches. I understand people go to church their whole life and, well, I've always been saved. No, you've not always been saved. You were born a sinner headed straight for hell. Your sins have destined you to a literal hell that burns with a literal fire. But the Son of God, Jesus Christ, left heaven. And praise the Lord, he came down to earth, Brother Michael. He lived 33 years, never sinned one time. Then he willingly gave his life on the cross and shed his blood to be the payment for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. And he says, I offer it to you as a gift. You need to receive it. That moment you receive it, you get what the scripture says, you're born again. Let me ask you something. Where were you born spiritually? Where was it where you was born spiritually? 42 La Rosa Lane in Greenville, South Carolina. I don't know the exact address, but I remember the house, Conway, South Carolina, June 21st, 1973. Where were you born again? No wonder you're dead. Praise the Lord for a funeral home. Brother BJ, where were you saved? Where's you born? Where was you born? In your kitchen. That's a good place. In the kitchen. Brother Thompson, where was you born the second time? Alexandria, Virginia. Where was your born place? Well, I don't remember where it was. I've just always known. No. You know. You know. Brother Moore, where's your born place? Georgia. You see, when you have a born place, you have a reason to look up and say, bless the Lord. You have a reason to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You have a reason to go around and just praise the Lord. You'll be a nut. That's okay. Praise the Lord. Because I was born again. If you're here this morning, you've never been born again. Let's make this your, not you. Let's make this your born place. Say, how? In just a moment, I'm going to give an invitation. I give an invitation, if you'll walk down the aisle, we'll have someone take the scriptures and show you from the scriptures how you can be born again. And this church can be your hospital room, your birthplace, where you're born again. Christian, when I give that invitation, I want to ask you to leave your seat. I want to ask you to come to an old-fashioned altar and commit for the rest of the year that every day you'll bless the Lord. You'll thank the Lord, and you'll praise him. Father, thank you for what we've heard. You're a worthy God. Lord, I pray that today we'd all just kind of, I think we all sometimes kind of get lax on these things. We shouldn't. And the only reason why we get lax is because we get focused on ourselves. God, I'm the first one to stand up publicly and just apologize to you, God, for not doing my part and blessing you as I should and thanking you as I should and praising you as I should. God, may this preacher
make you feel worthy if nobody else does. God, help your people this morning to make decisions for thee. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking. I wonder who's in here this morning. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but I needed that reminder this morning. And as you close in prayer, remember me in prayer. God spoke to my heart. There's some things I need to work on in my life. Pray for me if you like that. Would you slip your hands way up high all over the auditorium? I see hands everywhere, all over the place. God bless you. Put your hands down. Who else?